Live? All right, looks like we're, at least my mic is live here. If anybody wants to push or talk, they have to have a red button on.
Yeah, some of the mics are probably pushed to talk, and the other ones, if they have the red button on, are on constantly. So I guess just look at what your mic it does.
Right, okay. You don't have to. Okay, let's start the meeting. For the airport committee, a little after two, five after two here on the August the 10th. And the first item on the agenda is the call to order and the roll call. And I'll start off with Jeff Bertolite.
Ralph Busby.
Mark Watkins.
Jeff Jaw.
Lance Vanderbeck and Councillor Cynthia Jacoby has just arrived.
Just arriving as our council liaison. And then we have three people in the audience also. The next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes for July 13th. I do have maybe one little correction, but otherwise, it indicated that I was taking care of some sort of an RV out in the parking lot, and I'll be glad to look at that, but I didn't realize that at the time I was taking care of it. But it said somewhere Bertolite was...
What?
Got to contact the RV person out there.
Well, we know that's not your RV.
No, it's not mine. So anyhow, that would be the only thing I was just clarifying. And do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
Second.
Okay, it's moved and Susan Painter and Busby second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. All right. Next item. Our discussion items. And Lance, I don't know that we can start that off a little introduction, probably from our airport director, Lance, and then we'll introduce the Ken Williams.
Sure. So item 4A is Ken Williams hangar design for leased site A2. He has already got the approval to build on that site for lease. I did include that agreement along with the design for the hangar, which looks like it may not have printed correctly in your packet. So we're just here to get design approval to move forward for Ken to start building on that site A2.
Okay.
And Mr. Williams is in the audience. Did you want to come up for if they have any questions on the design for the hangar?
Oh, I apologize about the printing on the design. This is my Mrs. Danny Williams. We are the Williams. We relocated here.
Can you sit down? Because evidently the mics are a little directional. Is the red button on, perhaps?
Yes, sir. We'll try that again. This is my wife, Danny Williams. We are the Williams. We relocated to Newport in August of last year. We are looking to build this hangar. I have the printout you have. I'm sorry I didn't realize I would have printed it out for you. That's kind of not very good, but...
It was a last-minute printing. Literally, I just pulled them up. So
no worries.
Probably didn't have time to adjust it down there.
I don't know if you can clearly see the design or not, but I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Fortunately, I saw it online. It's shown here very well, actually. It's if you can, I can't explode it, but yeah, it's not in our little packet. But well, wait a minute. Here it is. It just got the wrong size on the That's all that happened here.
Good, we can see it.
Okay. Actually, I think it, just out of curiosity, you have a designer that did that? It looks pretty good.
I do. So I have a designer out of Idaho. Her name is Alexandra Loveland. I draw everything by hand, and then I send it to her, and she corrects it to my approval. And we're working on the engineering here, but I didn't want to finalize the engineering until I got approval.
All right. Anybody have any questions with regard to the hangar?
80, Ken?
Negative. It's 50 by 60.
I don't see anybody else have any. I mean, personally, I think it's really nice design and fit in fairly well. A lot of, you know, windows and the architecture part of it's a step above a, you know, steel hangar. So, does anybody else have any questions? Otherwise, I don't know that I don't hear any concerns being brought up.
I just want to say I appreciate the Williams coming to town and helping the expansion of the airport. It's always kind of risky when you invest on the public lands, as you know, but this is another step in the right direction that this committee to do. So I ask will help expedite this and get this thing done, because this is the kind of growth that this airport.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
If you could make a motion just to approve the design, and then I can let Derek know so he can get his permits.
I would love to make a motion that we go ahead and give this project.
Identify site A2.
On site A2, which is, I believe, is above outside.
Right, it's the very south hangar site.
We've been motion been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you
just
very much.
Anybody who's recording the minutes, that was Ralph Busby that seconded, because I don't know who's typing the minutes out.
Yeah, unless you can tell by hearing the voices. Thank you. All right. So hang on there, because it looks as if you're up next. To lease hangar spots D1 through D3, which would be evidently three locations. Can you give us a little background on that?
I'd be happy to. Can I approach a bench?
Sure.
So I've got a cover page on there of the master plan. You know, Lance and I were talking, and maybe it won't be on this docket, or maybe it will, but I'm looking at leasing D1 through D3, also looking at storage facility 6 to build and re-lease to FedEx. So maybe we can clean up the FedEx trucks out there a little bit and make it a little bit more organized. On there, there's a proposal for the three different hangar sites, what we'd like to do, 4,000, 5,000, and 6,000 square feet. Two of those would be split into multiple units where they could be sold, and everybody would have an ability to get a new hangar if they wanted one. The third building, we're looking at bringing in a commercial facility on that location. One would be maintenance, and two would be a 135 flight training school. So you can see that in the page. I apologize, they are hand-drawn.
Oh.
So until I, you know, get everything further through, that's kind of just the basic layout.
Ken, does this, when you identified the sites on here as D1 through D3, it isn't actually the D1 through D3 that's on the master plan, but this extends down into that future proposed area closer to the Coast Guard, so the actual designations are not in consonance actually with what's on your plan.
Correct. So what we found out in measurement and trying to locate the facilities and where they were, they are not exactly as the master plan is written. Lance and I had some conversations via email and verbal to what we could and couldn't do. They are bigger sites, but that area is available to build these sites. And I think that there were some corrections on D4 as well, which the FAA already approved. So I believe that I answered your question. Did I leave anything out?
No, I just wanted to clarify.
I can jump in a little bit on that as well. When Dan McCree was building his hangar, D4 actually, when it was plotted over that drainage ditch. So we did talk with the FAA and got permission to move all of those hangars 50 feet to the west, which we did. And then speaking with Jeff Vaughn with PAE for that number 12 on this first plan that Ken shows, that's just a generic aeronautical development area, which is another area to the north that we'll need to discuss. So those hangars basically got pushed into that area, which is fine. It just needs to be replotted, a pen and ink change through the FAA. Which we can do fairly quickly, turn around on that. So if that answers or gives you any further information on that.
Yeah, thanks. I just wanted to clarify that for everyone.
Circled.
I've circled the three locations that are D1 through D3. The area in question is the area 12, that's kind of a tannish beige color right next to those.
These are skewed, that's all.
I believe on the master plan, like Lance said, it's an aeronautical future development area.
And during the master plan, we kind of left that open because we could put really anything aeronautical for it, because we weren't, I think one thing that we did underestimate when we did the master plan is the amount of demand that we would have to have hangars built or people wanting to build those hangars. So and my next part, we'll discuss further the north area as well, but back over to you.
All right. Well, that's certainly an exciting proposal for, since it's been a long time since we've had someone offer or come here to build and then offer potential of air usages and pilot training in this area. So that's, in my view, a good idea. Evidently, these so far, these are available sites, is from what I understand.
Yes, these sites are still available. Ken is the first to ask for all three. So coming before the committee would be the next step if the committee felt that this was a good idea to move forward on a lease for all three sites to Mr. Williams, to the city council to approve or move on to.
It'd be difficult to do all three at one time. How do you think your timing would be on these?
So I would basically start one, complete it, and move to the next, and move to the next. If you look at my design and my hangar at Alpha 2, there's actually offices above. So that was one of the reasons of putting the offices above, is to have a classroom available and for me to have an on-site construction office so I could manage it. I kind of like everything being real close quarters, especially towards the end of my career.
All right. Anybody else have some questions?
No, I make a motion.
Can I ask a question?
Yep. Yes.
I don't have a copy of that, so I don't know actually what you're doing, but I could. Thank you. Here. I just want to see it. Just.
You want to come on?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I just.
Yeah, so that location, I tried to label them above for you so you could kind of see exactly where I was thinking about plotting those out. It would be the D3 location. It would be the location closest to Dan, a long, deep hangar where the maintenance could be done in the back and they could rotate planes out. We have approached a 135 that is extremely interested in already coming here. They do not have the facility, so negotiations for that will continue forward. However, I would like to start the 135 myself without bringing in a 135 if I'm capable.
So, can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
You have a wind turbine in here?
Correct. So, I would like to definitely put the other hangars solar for sure. Lance and I have discussed wind turbine possibilities. We are doing our research right now. We do not know what is FAA approved and what is not at this point. So that's a possibility. It's a very small turbine, but I need to make sure that it's FAA approved, and I still need to do research on that.
Well, it doesn't. It does. I mean, I'm all for, let's, you know, all the blah, blah, blah. But I had a house in Mexico, and I've been around a lot of wind turbines. Mm-hmm. They're extremely noisy.
Actually,
what is the problem with wind turbines?
Well, so the system that we're looking at is actually only a 60-inch turbine in diameter. It does have a decibel rating on it. It's not like the big turbines that are really loud.
These were small, too. This is just a neighborhood.
But they do produce sound. I don't think the decibel level is anything compared to an aircraft, though.
No, but I don't want to live next door to one that just constantly is screaming.
I totally understand. In that case, then I would not have one on the hangar because I don't want to disappoint anybody.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not here to fight with them. Just
no, I get it.
I have been around this.
Absolutely.
A lot, but these smaller turbines, and they are very.
I think the best thing,
like living next door to the helicopter, Coast Guard helicopter, that if it never shut off, it's just.
Yeah, I think the best thing with building and development is definitely keeping an open mind and listening to your neighbors. So, I don't think it's an argument. I mean, I think if it's something that's going to cause somebody discomfort, then you ixnay it. You find another option.
So
I think that's the best option to go with.
Are you? So you're not thinking you would have any power here? You would just strictly do solar, or you?
Well,
just supplement what you have.
The unit closest to your hangar, Delta 3, is going to be on the grid. That's the commercial unit. It's on the next page. The two units closer to the Coast Guard were the ones that I was going to try to take off grid and be 100% energy efficient. So the unit closest to D3 is commercial, and it's got a solar option, but I don't know the requirements of the power grid. Okay, I'm sorry.
Maybe you could trade with your,
No, that's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. I apologize.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should probably.
I think we're done now.
Okay. Well, I think let's all do it from here. The concern was whether or not the noise level from a wind turbine would be disruptive. And then the idea, from my understanding, is that the decibel ratings would be within range. Also, perhaps located not necessarily next to D4, or be the D1 and 2. So it'd be at least a hangar, two buildings apart. Yeah, but evidently, Mr. Williams would be willing to work with the airport committee and the tenants out there so that it wouldn't be a noise problem. Obviously there's always noise out in the airport, but you wouldn't want a constant hum. There are methods to quiet these things down, but we would take your concerns in.
That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, it's good to know that. I didn't realize it either, that they may be a constant noise. Having built propellers, I know they can be noisy, but I know you could also make them quieter. Are you okay with that, Ken?
Yeah, absolutely. And, the wind turbine is a proposal at this point.
Right.
I don't believe, Lance and I talked about it, but I don't believe I've found anything that's FAA approved yet. I don't know if Lance has seen anything.
I haven't seen anything yet.
So, that's just a hypothetical, what I'd like to do, because it's energy efficient. It's more energy efficient than the solar panels themselves.
Well, and then there are potentially, even across the road, a ways away from everybody would be with a, wire on a pole or something. But that's somewhere else. We'd have to, it'd be within our site perhaps, but somewhere or other located. I think the council will be in favor of, alternate sources of electricity out there. So right now, it's just a proposal. You aren't sure that it's even approvable by FAA, which is I guess we're not necessarily, as a committee, recommending or approving that you will be able to have a wind turbine. But you can lease the spot right now, and then the next steps would be whether or not it would fit within the regulations of nuisance laws and noise and whatnot.
I think that was kind of the goal, was just to give you guys an idea of the footprint that I'm looking to lease, what I'm looking to do at the airport. I think that all of it's a learning curve, because there's always new ideas in construction. I'm just trying to utilize resources that I have, and I definitely don't want to upset any of the neighbors or anybody at the airport. And I'm willing to work in any way I can. The other smaller hangars, they're all going to be LED lights, LED power. They're not going to cause much power, surge. It's the commercial hangar that will probably need air compressors and stuff like that.
Okay.
And that's going to have to be on the grid. The technology just isn't there yet.
No. Anything, Dan?
No, I think that can you can hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. No, I think that's great. I think that, I love to see all this construction just like you guys do. I think that he's a real go-getter, so I don't have a lot of concerns, but I've dealt with a lot of airports in my life, and the only concern I would have would be that you guys put some kind of time frame on this, because I've seen guys come in and tie up big chunks of ground, and 10 years later, they're still tied up.
Right.
And
I think the lease clearly states you have to start construction.
He says construction.
Okay, all right. And that's something I don't know. So
at least my lease on it.
Like I said, I don't think that's your intention, isn't to come in there and tie up a bunch of ground. But I've sure seen that happen at a lot of airports where nobody can build because somebody's got something tied up for 10 years.
Yeah, that's a very legitimate concern. And as this project moves forward, I think that's something that we should, as a committee, should probably be involved in, not to really, negotiate the lease terms, but to make sure that whoever does the lease, probably the city attorney and the city manager, that some kind of clause is in there, because that that's a very serious concern.
It's in there now. There, in the existing lease, if we use a pro forma lease that's used on the other hangars, there is a time frame for construction.
Yeah, you have 1 year to get a permit of occupancy for the building from the time that your permit is issued. So you can go down, get your permit, and then start building, and you have 1 year from that time to get your occupancy permit from the city.
And what happens if you don't? What happens if year two comes and it's still sitting there? Is your lease then void?
Then I believe, yes, that would be a question for the city attorney, but then I believe that there's language in there that your lease would be void.
Can be voided. I don't think it's voided, voidable. It's you're in violation of the lease terms, and so you would either have to remedy that or renew the lease. I think that's how it works out. So I agree with you. I wouldn't want to see somebody tie it up and go for years on end. One thing we were mentioning here, Dan, can you mention your full name for audience?
Daniel McRae.
Thank you. Okay, because there's somebody, they take notes. Yeah, I'm sorry, Jim, go ahead.
Part of my concerns.
Do you have a button to push on that? Just push it, hold it.
Push and hold it, okay. Part of my concerns has to do with marketing those hangars, and I haven't had a chance to look at the lease. I don't know if other people have, but I'd like to have more time to look at the lease and see, you know, what concerns as far as you're concerned. And from a marketing standpoint, after you build a hangar, you're going to want to be able to sell it or lease it, one or the other, obviously, to get your money back. And with the new costs of hangars, I don't care whether it's the T-hangars or what, I think they're probably going to be double what people now pay for a hangar. That's my guess. And with that happening, I wonder what the market's going to be for hangars and tying up land in the future. So that's my concern. I know there was 28 people on a list for hangars or hangar space, which is what Lance said, but it doesn't address at what value, what people are willing to pay. It's not probably not today's prices. That's my guess. That's my concern.
I can tell you from my research, the value that is on the hangars there now and the current value is definitely way different. Building materials are more expensive. Things cost more to build. I think the value on new buildings, they're brand new. They're not 40 years old, so they are going to increase. As far as the marketing is concerned, I've already got buyers lined out. I'm using my own money. I don't need funding. So as far as those buyers falling out, then I might need to use some marketing and advertising to sell the hangars. I think there's a huge demand for hangar space at Newport. You can go anywhere in the United States, and when you think of the Oregon coast, the one thing people know is Newport. So I believe that there is a high demand. It's like Lance's list. Yeah, I'm sure he's got an extensive list for people who want rent hangars. I tried for a long time. My plane sat out on the tarmac for 5 months just to get a hangar.
That's the responsibility of the investor.
Yeah.
That's the risk that he's taking. That's his determination. That's why he's doing his due diligence.
I guess ultimately, when it comes down to value, you know, it's a value that is going to be tax rated, and then taxes will be paid on that value, assessed by the city. I think Mark's right as far as what I do and charge for the project. If I've got a buyer ready to buy, or I want to buy it myself and do it for myself, you know, that's my responsibility to make sure I'm meeting my due diligence.
Tim, a point of clarification, the lease that we're putting on these properties is the same lease everybody already has. It's the same identical lease I have and other people have there at the airport. So the only change to it is the name on the front and the square footage defined in the lease and the site location. Every other word is the same.
And the yearly increase.
Well, the square footage leases at the airport all lease for the same amount. That's determined by the council on a yearly basis, yeah.
And that's also effective to the current year price, correct?
Yeah, but that's for the land. It's the price. It's not for the building itself.
Right.
Well, he will own the building, so that's...
The difference.
Yeah, but that's, no, there's no difference in the lease. The lease, he's leasing the land, and the lease is the same for everyone. Same price. And the building, whether he sells it or keeps it for himself or rents it out, that's his problem. Again, his problem.
Yeah. Well, people are concerned about you, evidently, so that's good. But I mean, I think you wouldn't start this project without having some idea that is the demand. You have some people lined up, and I appreciate, it sounds as if you were able to finance these and get them going. So the concern of tying this up for years on end is addressed evidently in our lease. You have to have it start within a certain period of time, and then after that you have to finish. Otherwise, the lease evidently is you're out of compliance with the lease, and then steps are taken after that. But I don't think that's, hopefully that would not be a problem, to be addressed later.
Okay, and then my other question is, Hangar Spot 6, you're looking at leasing that also?
I'd like to. It's a storage facility that hasn't been built. If somebody else is willing to build it, I have no problem with that at all.
Okay.
I just think it would help clean up the airport a little bit, make us a little bit more cleaner. There's a lot of facilities out there that are using it. They come in every day. Those are guys that come in every single day, sometimes twice a day. It would be nice to have something for them, too, to put their stuff. If it's buildable, I'll build it.
I actually tried to take that spot and was told I couldn't have it because FedEx leases all this apron area, and that was to be potentially a future spot for FedEx to.
Correct. It's only classified as a storage area.
Right, to build, a sorting station or this or that. So.
Right, and I think Mr. Williams wants to reach out to FedEx to see if he could build it for him, and not that it would still be leased under them, but I think he's looking to try to build that for them. But he's got to do that part on his own.
Okay. In other words, you weren't looking to lease that spot. It's already been leased out to FedEx.
Already leased out to FedEx. Okay. Yeah, that area. So to lease that out to anybody, because that's in that area that FedEx leases, it would have to go through, you'd have to talk with FedEx to see if they would be willing to relinquish that part of their lease. There'd be a lot more steps to that before we could just give that out.
What was the question? Is it on our agenda, that particular location?
No, that particular location is not on the agenda. I think Mr. Williams, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, wanted to reach out to FedEx to see about building a storage unit or storage facility.
Okay.
See if they would pay for something like that. Was that correct?
Correct. Or, even if Dan wanted to do that, I think it's good for the airport to clean it up. I don't care who builds it. I just want to make sure that, if it's available and it's a possibility, then we make it look nice and start creating some more revenue for the airport. Doesn't matter to me who builds it.
Right. Dan, did you have another location you were interested in doing some more work? Is that the concern
No. No, I just knew that was the story with that. So I didn't know if everybody else knew it or didn't.
Well, I think it's important that everybody's really clear on what is going
on
here.
So I just thought, I would bring it to your attention that it was FedEx's.
Yeah, I personally didn't know that you could actually build a building there. So, that's great. If the trucks are there, you can't use it for anything else anyhow. So if we can clean that up, that'd be great and keep those sites available. There is, and we'll talk about something other site later on here, evidently, that it didn't ever get put in our map that we kept requesting them to do. But I think we're still on this one other are we finished?
I think we need a motion.
Yeah.
I believe we need a motion from the committee to recommend that the city proceed ahead with leasing the properties
one through three.
D1 through three and the adjoining property that
is that your
in
motion?
With that plan. And I so move as previously stated.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. I want to just bring to the attention that Terry Bugenheim has ever joined us.
Yeah, lovely traffic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, they knew you were coming to visit, so all our tourists came in one time. So thank you, Terry. All right, well, okay, that's great. Next item then would be future hangar developments area in the north. That's for item 4C. Go ahead, Lance.
Correct. Item 4C is a discussion about building more hangars. So just for those of you listening at home, some background information on this is we are quickly running out of area on the airport layout plan that shows hangars to be built, as Ken Williams has picked up the last three spots. I do have a gentleman who wants to do the T-hangers, which once he gets a hard confirmation, I'll bring that before city council. And then there's one other small spot on the back end near Brent Taylor's. But that's it. All of our hangar spots are now spoken for at this moment in time. Not under lease, but spoken for.
Let's stop right here for a second and get some clarification. When we need to make clear in real estate terms when things are spoken for, generally speaking, that means it's in escrow.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to recommend that Lance defines what he means by when he says it's spoken for.
Well, that's what I'm getting to here. So that I just was going to clarify the terminology so that we know in kind of in a real estate terms when things are someone has identified they would like to go, participate in a lease, that's one thing. Then there is no signed agreement evidently so far. So I'm thinking that maybe we need to clarify if there's a method of saying that I have a letter of intent or I have some sort of a method that I will be entering this lease based upon some sort of item. But it's difficult to say it's been spoken for in I think in legal terms, unless it actually has a signed lease. So what is your understanding with, I guess, Mr. Mazzetta?
Sure. I have an email from Mr. Mazzetta that he would like to do that, but he doesn't want to move forward with a lease until he gets back drawings and costs, so he's doing his. So I'm not going to go and say if Mark Watkins decides he wants to build T-hangers, I'm not going to say, well, Mark, I have this site over here that you can have because somebody doesn't want to build on it. So I'm giving Mr. Mazzetta his due diligence ability to come forward and say that. So when I say that it's spoken for, I have had email contact from people who want to build in those sites, but they just need to get their plans together before I bring it to the airport committee to move on to city council.
Well, what we could maybe just the issue here potentially is just the terminology spoken for. So I think if we were able to come up with a better term that would identify the process and the timeline, of this, how much time a person would be given to hold the lease open for them, you could say that. I don't know. I'm not sure. You maybe ask our city attorney what would be the proper method of doing that. But I'm not okay with what you're doing in a sense. But I just like the terminology to be more, a little more clear. And because it doesn't, it probably isn't the proper terminology.
But we're in agreeance that first come, first serve.
Yes.
Okay. So another term might be interest. Then I have a party interest or an individual interest.
Well, I'll leave this up to the committee. Also, I think that when someone, in speaking to the issue of tying things up for years on end, if a person would come in and say, "Okay, I would like to lease this particular location," I think we need to allow a certain time element so that they would either come up with a lease or, but here's your 30 days or here's your time element. And then at that particular time, whether or not they've accomplished their task or not, it's kind of up to them, but we can't give them, an undeterminable time to tie up property, because someone else might come in and say, I'll do it right now, I'll sign the lease, and without having to worry about the rest of those things. So it's like doing an offer for a house. Offers accepted or it's not accepted, but and I don't think we have a method for doing that. It'd be nice to maybe we can come up with something. If someone said, I would like to lease it, is there any particular item you guys have a feeling for or for time?
I agree what you're saying in principle.
I haven't asked him for, the last I had asked him was at the beginning of this month if he was still interested in going forward, and he said he was, and then he had another gentleman contact me about drawings and design stuff. So he says he is, and I've put together a schematic for him of where the building is supposed to be placed with an apron. So I know that he's wanting to do that. I do have email confirmation from the beginning of this month that he is looking to do that, but I never asked him what his timeline is.
Would it make sense for the committee? Opportunities for other people, we need to move.
I agree with what Jeff said and what you just said, Susan, that we need to put a control over it. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, but the city leases these sites by building footprint, so you can't sign the actual lease until you have a building footprint. So it's a little bit of a chicken and egg problem. But in the meantime, I think when someone asks about a site, says they're interested, and we put a hold on that site, I think we being the city, should state that we will hold that site for 30 days, and if you have not presented a package that's subject to completion as a lease, then we'll move on and open it up to other interested parties. And I mean, the 30 days, of course, is debatable, but I think that's a reasonable time.
Cindy?
I suggest that the committee
he would maybe like some input as far as he could draw up the verbiage and all. Generally, and I'll accept input from the audience also here on a timeline. How much time would someone normally need to be able to, you know, to get in a position that they would say, yes, I can do the deal or not do the deal? You have anything on, Dan?
I would think 60 days. What your feeling is, but by then they can have bids on the building, they can have bids on the concrete, they can trying to get funding, they can get an answer from a bank. Okay. But I agree, you can't just don't drag this thing out forever. You got to kind of.
All right. Well, I think if David, your suggestion of perhaps our city attorney can draw up some verbiage like that and say that I think 60 days sounds like it's agreeable, and I would assume that we would, he's already contacted you, and we would at least start it, you know, at this meeting period, because he's already had several, you know, a month or so before this. So from this time on, maybe 60 days would be a good thing to shoot for, at least.
Okay, I'll send an email to David Allen, the city attorney, and propose that question and then ask for verbiage for a 60-day hold that people have to sign and get back to me, and then we'll hold it for 60 days, and if they haven't done their due diligence by at least getting a lease on the schedule to come before the airport committee, then that they'll drop off. Is that kind of the way we were looking at?
Yeah. Sounds good. And like that clarifies it and it brings it, you know, light to the subject where someone says, well, I'm interested, but, you know, usually I hear that until you ask for the money and then they're not interested in you. But this does bring comes to the point. I'm sorry. Oh, did you have a, yeah.
I do. I have a question.
Thank you.
So I apologize. I'm not used to these meetings, but if that lease comes available, is there a reverse lease or a re-lease available in the policies? And the reason I'm asking this is because that's actually the property that I wanted to build, but it is spoken for. So I can't build there, therefore I move into Delta 1, 2, and 3. Is it possible to rewrite a lease if that property does come available when I've already leased D1 through 3? Does that make sense? Is
my
question valid?
That's a good question.
I mean, because if I'm going to do them one at a time, and yeah, all of a sudden I haven't done D3 yet, well, D3 would be the first one. So I haven't built D1 yet, and that comes available,
right?
I would like to lease the T hangers versus.
You're thinking maybe a T hanger investment would be more advantageous than have the D2 and 1?
Well, it's not, I don't think it's more advantageous. It just takes care of more quantities of pilots that need space here.
Right.
And you know, like Dan said, 60 days I think is adequate. My question is to the committee,
yeah,
is if it comes available and you're already signed under another lease and you have not started construction, is there an option to release?
Well, I think that would be, I don't know, I read the terminology, to basically you would be asking to
cancel one lease and then another. I think that's what we pay David Allen the big bucks for. But
okay, I apologize. That's
no, that's a valid question, and I don't know the answer.
Certainly reasonable, and I think it's certainly possible. Anytime you have a lease, if both parties agree to the termination, then I'm sure it can be terminated.
Yes.
Again, that's for David to answer, but yeah, I don't think that's an issue. And then, of course, you would release the new property just like starting over. So
right.
I don't think that would really be an issue. But, again, we should get clarification from David.
No. Does anybody have – well, I guess we could short-circuit a little bit of this, because if that were to happen, is there a concern by the airport committee that that scenario would – not be able to be happen? Or I can't imagine why I would hold him to a lease if he wants to cancel. I can't imagine holding anybody to a lease that wants to cancel, because they're not going to do anything.
I think he would have to come before the airport committee, get the approval or the recommendation to go to city council that the lease area be swapped. Now, I don't know if that would be...
Well, not we're going to swap anything. As he'd have to come or somebody would have to go before us or the council and want to lease that T-hanger area separately. And the separate issue would be whether or not to be released from a lease. And I don't know that necessarily is our purview to, you know, I think it's more of a contractual element that they would be able to be released. But I don't see
any
concern.
Again, I think it's up to the council, you know, not the council, the city council, David Allen, to give you a reading on that.
Yes.
Because whether you're accomplishing the same thing, whether you take an existing lease and modify it by mutual agreement, or take that existing lease and cancel it by mutual agreement and enter into a new lease by mutual agreement, they all amount to the same thing. So
right,
it's just a matter of getting everybody to agree to
Well, that's what I was getting at, but I mean, it's just, I don't see anybody here complaining that we wouldn't want to release you from a lease if that were to happen. So I just want to... It does.
In the next 60
days. Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely. Thanks, Susan. Okay. Did anything else? All right. So now, sorry, Lance, but that all came up because you're going to talk about new areas to lease out, but these items would be same issues, so we've covered some of them.
Are we good out there? Can we? Thanks, Ken. All right. So yes, back to item C4. Thank you, Chair Bertolite. Discussion about areas about building more hangars. We did start a list. There is one person so far that is interested that if any of the areas fall through without getting a lease, that this person would like to try to lease as well. So we do have a list started of people interested in still building. The other option would be is to open up one of the areas. Like, for example, there's 13.5 acres of aeronautical use area just west of Taxiway Alpha. This area does not have hangars designated on it, the airport layout plan, but it is designated for aeronautical use, which we can, you know, put hangars on it. We can do that if we need to. Just be a pen and ink change from the FAA for us to submit. So I guess my question would be, you know, to the committee, if we have started a list with people now wanting to build the next area logically that we could move to would be that north end area off of Taxiway Alpha. It is 13.5 acres. You don't have to open it all up. You can open some of it up. You can do it on an as-needed basis. But what are the committee thoughts or the direction on that?
Lance, could you clarify whether that, how much of that has utilities to it, what utilities there are, and what kind of access there is? I assume we're talking through the gate by the fire station down there?
Correct. So access would be through the ARF station gate on the north end. Originally, it's my understanding that the FBO used to be down on that end. There are utilities there. That's where the electrical shed is. And there is a water line that does come in. And then there's a smaller water pipe that goes up to right about where there's a telephone cable box and stuff directly south of the electrical shed. So there are some utilities there, but how, like I don't know how big the water pipe is or, you know, what options can be, but there is in that area utilities. And then depending on where the hangars would need to go would be dependent on how far those would have to run. There is also the Pioneer's internet cable or fiber optic cable that does run through that area as well.
Assuming water flow would be an issue since it was on the south end, so you'd have to get it certified that it had 1,500 gallons a minute.
The water flow on the north end does come from the city of Newport, so I'm not 100% sure. That would be a question I'd have to ask Rob if that fire flow for the site, you know, so that would be a question I could ask Chief Murphy.
Yeah, I think those are all valid concerns, sir, certainly. And I was going to ask about the access, and you've answered that. And then you can always ask for your a digging permit, and you'll find out where everything is. But I would assume that we'd want to proceed with that. Anybody have any issues?
Is that on the master? That's already inserted in the master plan?
Right.
No. So what's inserted? Not. Are you asking about the hangars inserted or just the aeronautical use area?
The property that you're referring to.
Yes, the property that I'm referring to on the back page is this tan property down over here. Right there. It's just west of Taxiway Alpha. There's approximately 13.5 acres there.
So specifically, what are you asking the committee to do?
If we want to open that up for development.
Yeah, we are
Of course we do. I mean, we have people here that are investing money, and, I mean, we got to cut hay while the hay's ripe, man. And
well, I think the issue isn't so much whether or not we want to open it up. It's like what steps, procedures do we want to take? And Lance asked whether or not we want to open it up all at one time or certain areas so that you I think we would maybe want to talk to the fire people in the public works to see where the water pipe, fire flow pipe may want to go, and sewer, because it most likely would go along that taxiway to get down.
We don't need sewer there.
Sooner or later. But so I don't think you have a problem there, but I mean, it just that those are little, you know, when you start talking to engineers, you run into problems.
Well, again, this would be a private investor, and they would do their due diligence.
No, well, we want to lease the city. I want to have this ready, shovel ready. I don't want to have the poor guys come in there and have to do all the work, you know, figuring this stuff out. Yes, go ahead, Jim.
I have a question, Lance. Is that the same area that Lifelike was in?
They had discussed up there on that end, so that was kind of one of the reasons why I'm asking is that there's no designated spot for Life Flight or any other hangar, just these aeronautical areas that are opening. So I guess I'm asking the committee, what do you want to see in those areas? You know, do you want to have a designated spot that says, you know, in somewhere in this 13.5 acres, this is where we're going to put hangars, this is where we want to see some type of commercial development, this is where we would put, you know, Life Flight, or do we want to just, like, if somebody comes and says, I want to build a hangar, bring it before the committee and say it has to go in this 13.5, but then I would like to get ahead of the game a little bit, because that would definitely be a pen and ink change to the FAA, and that would take a little bit of time to do.
I think the most important question there for the committee to address, I mean, all the utilities and access issues can be solved. I think we don't want to open the whole thing up and just build tea hangers there, for example. And like Lance said, we may have an opportunity for some commercial development later, so we may save some of those parcels, parcel the thing up, and leave at least two or three large parcels for potential commercial development.
Yeah. Cindy.
You know, I would suggest, too, that you consult with
this is inside the fence.
Yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't be. Yeah. FAA, unfortunately. So, oh, okay. Thank you. Good idea. Okay.
Well, we should be getting input from everybody before we make that decision, and certainly the council, because, you know, it has to be aeronautical. It has to have airplane in it somewhere, but or helicopter.
Well,
anyway.
I think we have two excellent sources in our audience here of being in areas. And I was just up at Arlington, and that's a gangbuster business up there, man. They got in Aurora. I mean, good night. So, Dan, would you like to offer some advice to us?
I would like to at least voice an opinion. I am still on. Okay. I would recommend that before you, I'd love to see all that developed. I think that's great. And I think I think that's all great. But I'd like to see it done in a much more organized fashion where it's kind of drawn out, laid out. We're going to put 50 by 50 hangars here. We're going to put X number of them. We're going to put a row of T hangars here. And that way we don't have people coming in, you know, and saying, well, I'm going to build a this, and then the next guy is going to build a this. And it needs to be, it's our one shot to kind of get it right and
get it
organized.
We did that kind of our area. But building the same idea. I think that's what we're going to be aiming for.
But I came from a different airport where it was very structured. There wasn't all these, you know, every hangar is, it was the use of the land was very well thought out. The hangars were, you know, everything was done. Class 3 commercial was very organized. We got the maximum use, you know, we got the maximum return on our dollar because we didn't have a bunch of helter-skelter stuff. So just to open up 13 acres and say, let's just start throwing hangars in there, I think that would be a huge mistake.
Yeah, I think the idea is that we'll open the area up, but not in a controlled method like you mean.
It wouldn't be available
until the plan was actually implemented, like you mentioned. Ken?
Well, I think I have to agree with what Dan's saying. It's at this point, it's either a land lease and somebody comes in and develops it and gives you guys a really good thought out plan of how this would lay out, how it would work, how it utilize the land. I don't know that the way we're leasing these lots to us is the best way to use the land. There's land there that's just not getting used. And because we are building, it's never going to get used. It's not laid out. So either the city does a master plan development, or you have a developer builder come in and do a master plan development on his dime. But that's a risk. So you bring somebody in that wants to put that money into it. What are they doing it for? It may or may not work, and it may or may not be approved. But I definitely agree with what you're saying.
So I think the next step
in Idaho.
Next step perhaps would be to contact our people that do our master plan. Here, I don't know if they're the best people or not, but somebody like that would be able to lay out some plans. And then we do, we've indicated here that we would like to have LifeFlight build a larger hangar and bring in some other airplanes, and I know one of the mechanics would love that, but they need to give us an idea what their size might be, too, so we can accommodate larger parcels and larger businesses. And I think Dan's, you're right.
I don't think
we're going to prove anything until we see that plan.
No, that's fine. And I can, I think LifeFlight's great. I lived in Astoria for years and years and years, and they just recently built a very nice hangar there. But what happened there as well, and Astoria's limited on space for all the same reasons we are, and there's only so much area that can be airplanes, and they approved LifeFlight for this big space. Then they came in and said, now we're going to downsize our hangar to this. Well, instead of moving it over where you can now have two hangars, they just chunked it in the center and they wasted. So now you've got 40 feet all the way around this thing that's just throwing away space. And if we can avoid doing that.
I think we can.
I think what I can do, Chair Bertolite, is I can reach out to PAE and see if they can give us like a mixture idea and several different things, and I can bring that back to the committee, and then you guys can say, maybe we like this element, maybe we don't like this element type thing, and we can whittle it down from there until we have something that we want to submit to the FAA for a pen and ink change, if that would work.
I think it'd be a great idea. That way the public can see it also and give us input, and then we could look at it. And Ralph has a question.
I think one of the things we ought to look at is how we lease, and it's too late to back up and change the leases that exist. But I think if we're going to open up a new area, we ought to go by ground lease, not building footprint lease. And you pay for the amount of ground you got, maybe at a different rate, maybe not, but it should be by the space, the total ground that you occupy and not just where the building is.
Yeah, we can look at that. I don't know if that's
correct. I can answer to that too. Yeah. Well, what's done at other airports and is not done here, because I tried to do it here, where my hangar that I have in Utah, I lease the footprint of the building at a certain amount, and then I've also leased another amount, which is not built on, which is at a different rate, but that gave me the ability to have outside, you know, have tie downs for customer aircraft, places to park the cars for customers, stuff like that. So I lease another big chunk, but it's done at a different rate than the rate
that
my
building.
So that
was more for like a commercial operation where you actually have people, they have to park the airplane somewhere and until you can move them around, and that's what that would be for?
Well, what it was for is basically I said I want this much space that I lease, and what we used it for was we did aircraft maintenance. So if you bring me your airplane, I have to put it somewhere.
Right.
So instead of just tying it down at the city's expense, I had spots for those airplanes. Okay. Anybody who would drive it to the building, I wanted a place for them to park. I had, a couple of the big, Connex containers in a fenced, area. I leased all that, which was unimproved, so it was leased at a different rate, but it gave you the ability to generate more income.
That's normal in a commercial airport to do that. And even back east where we built hangars, we leased the space around the hangars, the taxiways between the hangars, and that was all part of our lease.
Okay. Well, certainly that's what our consultant can come back to us with, and it's good input to have so that, and they hopefully would know the requirements of commercial operations too. So we're not in a position where like Astoria had, where they have wasted space. But as far as I hear, we would like to go forward with at least looking at getting more back information back from the consultants or whoever else we can get it from on potentially opening this area up to more development.
Okay. No, I can get an email sent out and start this ball rolling and hopefully get something back to the committee next month for some type of consideration. I don't see that we're going to solve this in like a month or two, because I definitely agree with the audience that we want to have a well thought out plan so that we are utilizing the space, to the best of our ability as well. But I want to try to get a mix of, what the committee wants to see out there and how it wants the airport to be developed. So,
along with that, I'm going to ask a question of the committee also on the upper where the T hangars would be built up. You go around the airport, and there's another airport site that's identified in on our map. And I'm not sure if it's here or not, but it's where it is. I'm not sure how you would access that unless driving across the one east of the south end of the airport runway.
So, yeah, you're talking about the other area that is just east of the threshold of 3-4. I can't remember what size. I mean, it's a pretty good size chunk of land. Access, utilities are all an issue of getting over there. And I think that might be something that we would have to, develop what we can now and then look at what we can take steps to start getting that area. Because access would be a big one, and there's no utilities over there other than, the utility shed comes down and just the lighting, but there's no like electricity in that area or anything like that. So that would all have to be developed.
Electric's not going to be the problem. It's going to be maybe some other issues, water, drive.
Right.
I think maybe you can ask the guys, on the second burner, not the first one, on that question there. So where are we at 4? Any other items on this one? We'll go to the next one, and that would be the letter to the hangar tenants. Anybody have a chance to review that?
I did. I thought it was a good letter.
Yeah.
It looked like, I read it too, and it sounds fine. I mean, the idea here is we want some compliance, and we're asking them politely to open their buildings up if they're not being used for airplane use, to make sure that it is, and that make them aware that there are people willing to rent their hangars, so or their spaces. And I think it's important that we, under the demand we have here, to make sure that they're in compliance, I guess, would be the main issue. Yes?
No. No, I wanted to have it before the committee to read it, or if there was anything that needed to be changed before I sent it out. I just wanted consensus from the committee that to either send it out as is, or change this, or change that, or, you know, shorten it, or whatever.
I liked it. It wasn't too long, and I liked the ending tone of it. It was basically we're asking for them to be in compliance, and it's not it's not an overbearing letter, so I think it should be fine. Hopefully, it'll get their attention. Do we have I didn't notice, is there any particular timeline?
I didn't put any timeline in there. I guess what would we would have to send out a second letter, give people, 60 days to?
Well, I think you indicated so much time to get it under. Didn't you have 60, so many days in there already? I can't remember.
No, I talked about the FAA does pick 18 airports at random, and then they come out and visit. Each region picks like two or three at random, and then they come out and visit. So I talked a little bit about that. I didn't put any type of timeline because I didn't really kind of want it to sound like a compliance letter at this point in time. Just kind of like, you know, here's some information. Maybe you would like to consider that. And then if we need be, you know, send out a compliance letter in another 60 days or something, or see what might transpire after this one gets sent out. What's right. The committee's feeling on that?
So this is generic letter. It's not a tenant-specific letter, right?
Right. It's going out to all the executive and box hanger.
So you're being really nice to this guy.
I'm sending it out to everybody.
Yeah, everybody was going the same thing. I think after everyone is, we'll see what happens. I think let's get back to this potentially at our next meeting and see if you have any response. Right now, there's only one person that. There used to be a couple of people, now there's maybe one person that we're concerned about, but is there more than that now? Okay, yeah. So there's issues out there, and if let's say nothing's happened or they haven't contacted you or so, you haven't been able to find out what's going on, then we would put that on the agenda for perhaps a little more of a compliance letter to be issued.
No, that's fine. I think just the reminder letter to everybody, and then they'll bring
the
back
one you
some
have
information.
Now is fine, and then
I disagree.
How about if you
there's tenants out there that are using our hangars for construction storage.
Well, they're not your hangars, but
it doesn't matter. These people need to be addressed. We have people that want airplanes. This has got to be taken care of. No, I don't want any more meetings about this. We know who they are. And Lance needs to set a notice.
Generally, when you send a notice out, it's a certain time. You give a timeline or something like that. It's not a demand letter.
He has the same lease that we do. They know the lease.
Okay, but generally speaking, you give someone a little bit of time to comply. So unless somebody else has issues like that. For long term, it would be, but not for short term. I don't think they're going to come out.
I mean, it's a problem for us. All going to be in trouble.
We do have, we have to be in compliance with our grant assurances, and that also keeps us eligible for future grant money. So it is important that we do it. I would suggest that we go ahead and send this letter out immediately, wait 30 days, see if we kind of response. It gives in within 30 days or at the end of 30 days, if there's no action that we see by any of the parties, then we go into a more stringent approach.
Why don't we add
I think you could do that, right. No, that's what my suggestion was going to be. Let's put a time and say we'd like to hear from anybody that has a concern or is out of compliance with, let us know within 30 days your response. And that at least puts them on notice that we have a timeline, and then we could act after that. Yeah, well, that's what I think. I mean, no one's out of just, we're not disagreeing that there, we need to have this fixed. It's just a matter of how quickly and reasonably you can get this done. I mean, it's unless you, you know, they could probably throw things out, throw a hangar, you know, airplane in there, it'd be fine. And if, you know, but we want it done right, you know. So I think the 30 days should be adequate. It's not, I just want to be sort of reasonable, you know.
No, that's fine. I'll add a please notify administration within 30 days of letter. And then if I don't hear anything back, I'll bring it over to the committee and we'll go to the next step, because there probably, I agree with Ralph, there might be more than just the one person.
Okay. Anything else? All right. Don't want to drag that out forever. The next item is the operations report.
All right. Item 5A, the operations report. For those of you listening at home, the Facebook page, I haven't given you guys an update on that in a while, but totally right now, the total followers right now of the Newport Facebook page is 1,035, which is pretty impressive for a city department to have that many followers. So I'd like to thank Dave Zemanski for putting together the page and taking the pictures and getting everything done on it. He's really done a wonderful job with it. The AWAS speed wind indicator was replaced by our contractor, DBT. Environmental assessment participated in a kickoff meeting with ESA, who's doing the obstruction removal project, or the environmental assessment for the obstruction removal project, and they had their one of their people on site today doing an assessment around the airport. So for an animal shelter update, I participated in a kickoff meeting with Dangermund Keen Architects, who were selected by the county for their animal shelter project. Community Development Director Derek Tokos is working with Powell Bands Valuation LLC to establish what a fair return on the property would be for a long-term ground lease. That's where I know where the lease is at this moment in time. I haven't heard anything on that. T-Hanger Development did receive a phone call from Mr. Wellner about the T-Hanger area for Mr. Mazzetta. Mazzetta is looking to build on. Mr. Mazzetta is still interested in building on the site, still waiting for building plans, and I'll let him know about the 60 days after I get something drawn up from David Allen to have him sign for the hold. Airport staffing, if you don't know already, John Matherly has put in his notice. City administration has reinstated the BBSI temp position, and AJ Quam has been brought back on. Had a meeting with HR to go over job descriptions and postings at the airport, or and positions at the airport. So John's last day is this coming Friday. If anybody wants to go and harass him one last time, that would be the opportunity to do that. Or I'll give out his cell phone later. No, kidding. The self-serve platform, still waiting for email, or the self-serve platform, waiting for email confirmation that the platform is ready to be shipped. Placed the order on June 7th of 2021 with Cotterman for the rolling platform. Was requested and approved by the airport committee. Received an email of confirmation from Rachel Couts with Cotterman Company. The platform is being built. Unfortunately, the earliest that Cotterman was able to have the platform ready and shipped in that email was the 27th. I got a follow-up email saying it was supposed to be last Friday or this Monday. Still have not received an email to pay for the thing. So I don't know if they're like making yellow paint or what, but that's where we're at. I've got all the confirmations that I've been on them for it. So Storm pipe rehabilitation, Lake Creek culvert project. The Lake Creek culvert project has been running smoothly and is almost completed. The storm pipe project has run into a rare but not unheard of issue with the pipe, referred to by the crew as a live pipe. And what that means is while joint sealing, the pipe is moving and flexing and popping out the grout work. We have had a conversation with the FAA and what we can do for switching to a different type of pipe rehabilitation method called a WECO seal or WECO seal. We are waiting to hear from the FAA for the approval on the change and also the dollar amount if it stays within the same amount as what the epoxy pipe is on, but it's, who knew? We have living pipes up there at the Newport Municipal Airport. I guess if it's going to happen, this is the place it's going to happen. I did ask if they needed an exorcist, and they did say no. So, but it's a new one. I have never heard of that before, but it was a new one. So basically, they've almost sealed one of the pipes, and at the last count, when they went back in, it popped 40 joints, which means they have to go and take all that and refill it, basically, so it keeps popping out the joints, and there's over 500 for both pipes.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's the main 48s that run underneath the, yeah. So I guess there'll be more to come, more updates to come on that as soon as I find out more. Oregon Airport Managers Association, I was not able to attend this month's meeting. The meeting date was rescheduled for a Friday when I was on vacation, so I did have a very nice vacation. Thank you. City Council meeting on July 19th, attended the City Council meeting, had two items on the agenda. Under City Manager's Report 8B was approval for a land lease for Patricia and Paul Bryan for Hangar E at the Newport Municipal Airport. Hangar E, co-owned by Ron Tahar and Jerry Wilkin, was sold to the Bryans. Council approved for the land lease in a voice vote. The second item was 8C, was approval of the airport land lease with Jeffrey Shapiro for Site 4. Mr. Shapiro has relocated to the Newport and wants to build a hangar for in the future hangar Site 4, which will complete that one box row of hangars, so there won't be a space open anymore up there. Council did approve that land lease by a voice vote. How we ended up for the month of July. For the month of July, we had 748 logged total operations, aircraft operations, and we pumped a total amount of 10,696 gallons of fuel. I did have to order jet fuel today. It'll be hopefully delivered on the next Tuesday. This has been a state issue with people trying to get jet fuel. A lot of the airports are, because they're being used for the fires, the priority. So I was happy that they could get it in. We do have about 1,600 gallons, which I'm hoping will last us till next Tuesday, but we'll see if we need to note them it out or not.
How was the price on that?
What was your question?
How's the price?
For purchase? Price has actually seen a drop by 5 or 6 cents for jet fuel and 5 cents on avgas recently, so. Yeah, that's nice. Now the problem is finding the people to drive it over here.
Good volunteer.
All right. So Jet A sales per fiscal year. Currently for the beginning of this fiscal year, we did 6,771 gallons of jet fuel. We did 3,925 gallons of avgas. We rented out 57 rental cars through Hertz, and we sent out 49 crew cars into Newport. I did also add the local prices for Jet A within our 65-mile catchment area for Newport and for Avgas within our 55-mile catchment area for Newport, and then did add a few photos that were also on the Facebook page. We have been very, very busy with jet traffic. Did have a Challenger 300, and they came out of North Carolina, did a straight shot to Newport from North Carolina. The gentleman has something to do with a truck dealership or building trucks, but he brought two of his top clients out here to go halibut fishing.
Nice. That happens.
How about the guy in that mall?
Is that it, Lance?
Yes, that's it for the operations report. If anybody has any questions on any of it. Yes, Jim.
I just have a more of a curiosity question, I guess. We indicate how many gallons we use, and I don't know if you're able to get this because Albany is basically a city airport, but also maybe the fuel suppliers would let us know. How do we compare in fuel sales, probably in jet, but in both, let's say Albany or, I don't know if you can go with Independence because they don't do anything, but some other areas
Corvallis.
That, Corvallis maybe?
Yeah.
You know, someday we can check and see how do we do compared to those guys?
Like in just the amounts of
gallons? Yeah, amounts, yeah.
I will see what I can find out. Yeah, I think that would be interesting.
It'd be interesting to see if everybody's about here, you know, it's great, but we're kind of a destination too. So I think hopefully we'd be a little above some of these other guys that like flying in to get halibut. I mean, they're not going to fly to Corvallis. So just for the halibut, they might, but,
yeah.
But I know they sure would. North Bend, they fly to golf. So anything we can do, because I mean, that's our big money maker until we get all these guys to build the hangars out there. That's where the money is on the airport to make. Thank you. We appreciate it. Yes, we do.
I have a question, Lance. Has anybody checked out yet whether the animals shelter?
I'm not 100% sure. I haven't seen any design aspect. I did hear at one of the meetings that they were talking about storage and large animals and everything, but that kind of sounded more like a wish list thing. So I don't know what the design would come back, because the design is going to give you a cost, and you know the county only has X amount to spend, so they might be cutting things in and out. But I have not heard officially or haven't seen anything officially plan-wise if they are going to have large animals there, other than what I heard on a wish list item.
Horses do not like them.
I think maybe we could make. I think we'd make it more of an official item on our agenda or here that we, as an airport committee, would be concerned about having large animals due to the fact that I've heard other people bring up the issue that horses are not amiable to airport noise. So
Lance,
I think that
I'd like to know if the county has actually submitted an intent to lease.
Yeah, they have.
There's an MOU.
Yeah. There's an MOU. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I talked to the commissioners about the large animal issue, and they said that they would like to do that, but at this point, I believe their building itself would be adding that on.
I think maybe we might want to short circuit that. I'm not familiar with it, but we've had Dan down out there and other people familiar with horses not being that really are not, they bolt evidently, right?
It creates a problem. We used to do a lot of aerial spraying, you know, fields out there, and you'll run a horse right through a fence if you're not.
And if the county is not aware of that, we ought to either make them aware or it just may not be compatible. So,
have a conversation about it.
Yeah. I think that we can direct our director here to talk with them and say that the committee is a definite issue with the noise. And so that they make, it's not fair to them either. I mean, if they evidently aren't aware of the problem, sounds like. So if they are, maybe they would have plan B and that we'd prefer them to use that plan B.
Okay.
Anybody else have, they were in the comments here, committee comments.
And what's the status of the gate, the West Gate?
The chain or whatever it's going on there.
They came out and fixed that and still doesn't work.
Oh, they came out and fixed it 3 times, but it hasn't worked now for like 2 weeks. It's still shut down.
First I've heard of about that. I will get them on it.
Still up.
I think about 2.5 weeks ago, about 2.5 weeks ago, they came out, and I just happened to be there, and the guy came in, and John and Dave were there, and he claimed how it was fixed to never happen again, and it was because the chain was too loose, and he tightened the chain, and within 2 days, it didn't work again, and then it was working off and on, so I think somebody shut it off so that it's disabled at this point in time.
I will look into that, because it was my understanding that they came out and fixed it, so...
Well, I think I'm about right on the time frame, 2.5 weeks ago. Maybe somebody's been out here since then. They very well could have been, but I noticed today the sign was still on it. So,
yeah, I would, if they could recommend a stainless steel chain or a poly chain, you wouldn't have these issues out here in this corrosive atmosphere.
I don't mind so much, except that I drive up to it every day and then
have to drive around it.
Get in, you know, because I'm too stupid to go around the other.
Lance, at the last meeting, we talked about the significant rust on our new avgas tank, and we were going to check with the manufacturer to see if there was a warranty on that. They were also very concerned about that. Have we done any follow-up with that?
Unfortunately, no, I haven't, but yes, we did discuss that. Mascot is aware of it, and so is our fuel supplier, Brander, Western Petroleum, and they were concerned about it as well. I will follow up with Mark, the person who came out from Western Petroleum to see what's going on and send a follow-up email to Mascot, but I haven't had time from the last meeting to do it yet. So thank you for the reminder. I appreciate it.
Okay. And, you know, I've got two contractors. I have one question before you maybe go on to something else. And we're talking about rust over our containers that are just out in the open. Is there a way to build a thing over these things where the rain will at least go off of that?
talking about the fuel tanks?
Yeah.
I don't think the rain's probably not your problem. It's all that coastal fog that has
Salty fog, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the rain might be a benefit.
Okay.
The dome over the earth.
The dome. We need to, Okay, well, I'm just curious. Okay, next, Mark?
Well, I just wanted, in the lease, our airport hangar lease, Section 9-2, it talks about what you can and cannot keep, and then all the way down, it does talk about that non-compliance, you shall have it repaired in 30 days. It's already stated in.
Okay, thank you. Anything further? We have, now would be the public comments. Do you guys want to add anything to the end? Yeah, thank you, right.
Yeah, we had a nice send-off for her. A bunch of people showed up, and she got a wonderful position with the port. So as an administrative assistant down there as well, but she will be very, very missed here around the city, absolutely.
Good. Oh, and I also want to thank you for taking care of the weeds in front of the FBO. They were growing pretty high, and somebody took care of them, so that was nice.
We finally had the ability to get that done. So
good.
You're very welcome. I know they were getting very high. I was kind of disgusted with them myself. So
yeah, well, the entire city's that way. Evidently, it seems to be the city landscaping with the curbs.
I do have one other, actually two other comments that I would like to just kind of verbally add in. One, we have been working on the Scotch broom issue, and we did get another chunk of that area cleaned out over actually by the pipes, and then of course around the field there's been some growing up, and so the far field east of runway 34, we got that mowed down and got a big chunk of the Scotch broom out of that as well. And then there was one more. Oh, right, thank you. The sign that the gentleman that I was referred to, he sent me an email recently and said that he does not have time to do a sign and we should go with Newport Sign. So
would that be McEnany, or you said?
Yeah, the...
He didn't have time.
Yes, yeah, McEnany.
He would be certainly more artistic than the other guy.
Well, yeah, he just said he doesn't have the time to do it, and I don't know if we were under any type of...
I appreciate
really kind of.
If you can't do something, at least he told us he can't, so that's good.
Yeah.
Good. All right. I don't see anything else, so I guess the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you all.
Yeah, cocktails. That's right.
Well, you know, it's been... Oh, there's no question. And plus, it's creating a problem with airports.